Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Happy July the 3rd.
Listen, y'all. It's a Wednesday, and Dukes and Bell are out of the studio.
Dukes and Bell are celebrating the 3rd of July as they broadcast live from Taco Mac in Woodstock.
Cut out of work and start your holiday weekend early. Come say hey, man.
Hey, man.
As the guys talk all things Atlanta sports and more. Live from Taco Mac on Highway 92 in Woodstock.
Happy July the 3rd.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Here's Dukes and Bell.
Happy 4th of July, everybody. It is July 3rd. We're down here, in Woodstock, hanging out at Taco Mac. Big shout out, man, to Joey, that is, who is a coach up in Walton County, Mike.
Yep.
And he said, literally, and I'm only telling this story because it made us laugh. He said, I was at Target, literally right down the street here, heard you guys were over here, and I was like, I listen to those guys every day. I got to go over there. So he made the U-turn and came over here just to say hello. But Joey, man, thank you so much for hanging out with this dude.
Good Americans like Joey, leading American youth.
He's hanging out, and he's having a Hey Man L, too. So you can't go wrong with that. But thank you for being out here as well. Thanks to Brett Boone for stopping by, talking some baseball, man. A lot of people responding to his story there, talking about at the end and his all-star experience.
Right.
I'll say this. In covering Major League Baseball, I did for over a decade, and the all-star, it's not a weekend. It's really 2 days. But that Sunday where most of the games are in the afternoon, everybody gets in the town, wherever the town is, that evening, and there's usually parties and stuff. Monday, obviously, the festivities, and it might have changed just a little bit now over the years. But leading into Tuesday, which was traditionally the All-Star game, but that Monday, great parties, agent parties, like a who's who, and it was always so much fun. And to his point, until you kind of figure out the protocol, like, hey, can I talk to that guy? Derek Jeter's over there. Can I say hello? You kind of figure it out. But as a player, I know, you know, he said he went through the same thing. So kind of interesting to hear his story.
And his first All-Star game, that 98. I know we always had good moments from the Home Run Derby going all the way back to, you know, Ken, but that was the height of Ken Griffey.
Yep.
You know, and then later on the next year, I think the one that everybody remembers is that 99 in Boston. And remember Stakey, the old station I worked at, text like, I think we should go to the All-Star game in Boston.
Williams.
I'm down with that. And to this day, it's one of the coolest baseball memories of all time for whether you saw it in person, Carl, or on TV.
Yep.
All the players gathered around Ted Williams like little kids. But anyway, we'll talk more about Brett's other All-Star games. We'll talk to him next week.
All right, man. We got plenty more to dive into. Coming up, Mike, we're going to head to Pittsburgh. They are our first opponent of the season. And again, we've been going around to different cities as the Falcons training camp gets prepared to start here in a couple of weeks. And just kind of taking you around and talking to guys who are in tune with the teams that we're going to get a chance to see. Yesterday, we talked with our buddy in Philly, and he was talking about the travel and how Philly's offense is going to change under Kellen Moore, and you know, the fact that it's Super Bowl or bust for them. I think the Steelers, again, remember, they made the playoffs last year. They haven't had a losing season since Tomlin's been there.
But they haven't done anything in 15 years now.
You've got to win a playoff game.
Right.
And that's,
but it's
that's
Super Bowl or bust in Pittsburgh. I mean, Dallas now, they've won a Super Bowl more recently than Dallas, but one of the most iconic teams in American sports. Yeah, I mean, you're right. He has a great rep, and he got the contract extension. But they got to do something. Is Russell Wilson going to be the guy to get them back to beyond just a first-round playoff exit?
I don't know. We're going to talk to Ray Fittipaldo coming up here in about 10 minutes on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Right now, let's get to an NFL Blitz!
Welcome to the NFL.
With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
This hour is brought to you by Status Truck and Trailer Repair, driven by excellence, building successful partnerships. Mike Josh Jacobs, who's now a Packer. He signed a four-year, $48 million deal to leave the Raiders and go to the Packers.
Good for him. He goes to a better place.
Well,
not for partying, because to go to Green Bay, Wisconsin from Las Vegas. But,
yeah.
But I mean, it just seems like he was underutilized, but just a waste of talent in Las Vegas, much like his buddy at wide receiver, right?
I think he's going to be great in Green Bay. And, you know, Davante Adams, I still think if you asked him right now, he'd probably want to trade. He'd love to go somewhere else.
He went to Vegas to play with his best friend, who then gets benched and traded.
Carr. But Jacobs just recently came out. He was on NFL Network and said that he thinks that Jordan Love, Mike, is going to be the next superstar in the league. Not good, not star, superstar. Do you agree?
Well, we saw him and we saw his growing process, right? We saw his maturation, because he thought he had us beat that second game of the season. Was the first game, and last year at Mercedes-Benz, and then we came back on him. He started making some mistakes. We started pressuring him, you know, even though our pass rush was kind of hit or miss last year, but we beat those Packers. And then I tell you what, that's probably the last bad game that he had.
Yep.
That second half was a bad second half for him. But then as he got better and better, I thought we saw C.J. Stroud. Same thing, C.J. Stroud. We made him look like a guy that was learning on the job, and then fast forward to week 16, looks like a different quarterback, doesn't he?
He does. Jordan Love, this is the number that told me everything I needed to know. So over the last 7 weeks of the season, they went 5-2, and he was 18 touchdowns, one interception.
How about that?
That's what Jordan Love did the last 7 weeks of the season, which is what propelled them into the Dallas game, obviously, and then they win the playoff game, Mike. But, yeah, I think...
I mean, they embarrassed Dallas.
It was embarrassing. I don't know if I'm ready to say superstar, because when you say that, you're telling me he's going to beat Patrick Mahomes, and Mahomes is a superstar. I think there are a lot of good quarterbacks in this league, but I do think he has the ability, and I hear what Josh Jacobs is saying, the new Packers running back, when it comes to watching him and seeing him in minicamp and all the things that he's been a part of. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. As we talk about the Falcons, by the way, we're going to have Joe Patrick on in the 5 o'clock hour to kind of get his take on what's going on as far as getting ready for training camp. And the main thing for us, guys, is health, which right now everybody seems to be. Mike, I told you, Grady's getting his grind in. He's getting ready. He looks like he's 100% in these workout reels that he's been posting. Yeah. Bottom line is health. Coming into camp, that's the number one thing. And the other thing Mike and I mentioned, and we'll talk to Joe Patrick about it, is this A.J. Terrell deal going to get done before the start of the season? And I think that's a big one.
Yeah, I know that Grady Jarrett coming back, Kirk Cousins, are we going to see him? Everybody else, you know, Bijan, the ankle injury, that was just him kind of overtraining, right, back in the spring?
Yeah.
From what we got from the coaching staff. I think this team, brother, you and I were talking about it yesterday. The reason why Vegas likes us, the reason why so many folks around the country have got us winning this division, even though we haven't been able to win it 3 years in a row, is Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is the secret sauce. But I'm with you, man. I just feel that as long as the edge rush and Grady's going to be the guy in the middle, but who's going to pop? Who are going to be? The biggest question for me is, it's not offensive line. It's interesting because there's nothing for sports writers to do right now than come up with lists.
That's right.
And rank something and rank this and what's the weakest unit on your team. And I'm not knocking on Josh Kendall from The Athletic. He wrote an interesting article. But there's other people out there that feel, you know, oh, one thing we talked about with Oren earlier today, that Chris Lindstrom is one of the best offensive linemen, might be the best player on the team. Like, wow. You know, we kind of take him for granted because he's just doing the dirty work at the right guard, right?
Yeah, it's rare that an offensive lineman is considered, usually at left tackle, if anywhere, the best player on the team. He doesn't play tackle.
Right.
He plays guard.
Right.
And that is the weirdness of, is he that talented? Mike, they paid him like he was the best guard in the league, and rightfully so. I don't know if I'm willing to say that he's the best player on the team, but I would tell you this. If you said 3 years ago when we drafted Kyle Pitts,
right,
at this point in his career, I would have told you that I thought Kyle Pitts should be the best player on the team.
Right.
Then we drafted Bijan Robinson. I know what kind of athlete he is. I would tell you after last year, he's probably on course to be the best player on the team. You're telling me an offensive lineman is the best player on the team?
I guess he's Conrad Dobler for those guys of a certain age who remember the old St. Louis base football Cardinals. Hey, that's cool, man. That's cool. Guards do some dirty work. And he does it. Like, I'm not saying he's got to clean up McGarry's mess, but, you know, he does park on the right side. You know, the guy that you and I were talking about the other day is, and we'll get more into this at 5 o'clock with Joe Patrick, is Dahlman, is he okay? These guys seem to be cool with it. We
cool
didn't really
it.
Address it. I know I like Storm Norton to fill in as a swing guy at tackle, but I know, I guess maybe the other regime felt less confident, or that's what we were hearing. I haven't heard anything bad about Dalman in the middle this year.
No.
At least in the mini camp and the preseason.
I agree with you. And we'll take a look coming up at 5 o'clock. We'll ask Joe about this because, listen, we know Kirk Cousins is the most important player, right? That's a given. But I've said this to you guys. I actually think Kyle Pitts is the second most important player on this team because of the lack of production and what we think we can get from him. If you were to tell me, oh, it's Grady or it's Jake, or, I know what they're capable of. I know what they can do. I still do not know what Kyle Pitts is capable of.
And by the way, you know, you and I were just talking about picking up the option on A.J. Terrell, but then there's still the, what are you going to do, long-term contract, you know, the extension? If Pitts doesn't get, what is there a benchmark for you that Pitts has to hit for you to bring him back?
Yes. Mike, you're going to invest, what, $70, $80, $90 million?
Remember the conversation after year one? We're going to have to pay him like a wide receiver. No. But that's why I think if Pitts is motivated and Pitts talking about all, and nothing against Pitts because he's a great energy guy, he's positive attitude.
Yep.
But, yeah, Pitts has got to rock. I need those touchdowns. I need those yards, man, because this is, in essence, the big contract year.
I agree. 404-726-0929. It's Dukes and Bell. We're live at Taco Mac, guys. We are going to talk to our buddy up in Pittsburgh about the Steelers. Listen, opening night's going to be electric, right? Then you go on the road. You take on the Eagles on Monday Night Football. And then in week three, we come back, and guess who's in town? Mahomes and company.
Yeah.
Like, those first 3 weeks, Mike, are like, oh. And I'm hoping that we get off to a good start. We said this, 2-2, because the Saints are the fourth game of the season.
I'll take 2-2 with that. I mean, guys, you're playing the champions. You're playing the Eagles in Philadelphia.
In Philly, yeah.
You know, and you got, you know, the Steelers are always tough and physical with that pass rush.
It's going to be interesting. We're talking to Ray Fittipaldo coming up, Steelers reporter for the Post-Gazette, next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell, back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're live at Taco Mac, hanging out in Woodstock, guys. Come on out, hang out with us. We'll be here until around 6:30 tonight. Atlanta United picking on New England tonight. Mike Conte, of course, Jason Longshore will have the call for you, but the pregame starts at 6:30. Let's talk some football, man, because we have been looking at our schedule. We're taking you around the country and talking to guys who are in the know with those teams that are on our schedule, including the team we start with, the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Ray Fittipaldo is joining us, Steelers reporter for the Post-Gazette. Ray, I want to start with our former coach, who's now the offensive coordinator for the Steelers, and I'm wondering what the sense has been there, and how has he been received in Arthur Smith?
Yeah, guys, good to be with you. I think Arthur Smith's arrival here has been welcomed by the fans. I think if you talk to people inside that building, he brings a certain level of professionalism to the position. And I know he got fired after 3 seasons in Atlanta, but you guys have to understand, he's coming into Pittsburgh after 3 years of Matt Canada, who might have been the worst offensive coordinator in the history of the franchise.
True.
So,
yeah.
it's been all good so far. You know, obviously he's going to be judged on his record and how many points he could put on the scoreboard. But I got to be honest with you guys, after 3 years of Matt Canada, Arthur Smith has to be an upgrade.
Yeah, because we knew things were bad. We joked around about it when they were saying fire Canada at, like, you know, Penguins games. That's when you know it's truly crossed over. What do you think, though, Ray, about this quarterback battle? We were saying, and correct us if we're wrong, that Tomlin doesn't know anything to Russell Wilson, and he might actually let a guy like Fields win the job if he can do it on the field. How's that going to play out?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look the way that it broke down, guys, Russell Wilson was signed first. Justin Fields was acquired, actually, because Kenny Pickett declined to be in a competition with Russell Wilson. He wanted a change of scenery, and that was the impetus for going out and getting Justin Fields. Now, I'm not saying Justin Fields can't win that job, but I think there's a clear pecking order at the position going into training camp. Mike Tomlin is on record saying Wilson has pole position. So, you know, he's going to get, obviously, the reps with the ones in camp. I tend to think, unless he's really bad in summer practices, unless he is really bad in the preseason games, he's going to start the season as the starter. I think the big test for Russell Wilson is Steelers have the most difficult schedule in the NFL, but it's relatively manageable, like weeks 1 through 7 or 8. So he's got to get off to a good start. He's got to be 5-3, 6-2, something like that, so they can still contend when the schedule gets really difficult in the second half of the season. So if Russ is 500 or worse, I think they're going to see a change. But I really don't see that happening until, you know, midseason at least.
Ray, what's the latest on Cam Hayward? We are curious because we don't want him to be on the field when they play. He probably will be, but are they going to pay him?
You know, it's an interesting situation. He's on the books for $16 million this year. You know, he can become a free agent after the season. I think he's going to hold in. I think he's going to report to camp, but I don't think he's going to take part in practices. The interesting part of this, guys, is I'm not convinced that he is going to get a new deal before the start of the season. Cam is 35 years old, coming off a season when he had 2 sacks, groin problems. He had those, you know, sports hernia issues the entire season, really kind of wrecked his year. So, you know, if you're the Steelers, you sit back, okay, he's 35, let's see if he can do it again. And you still have that gap between the end of the season and the start of free agency in March. You know, that's 6-7 weeks where you can hammer something out and keep him in town if he performs well again. So I'm not really one of those people who say, yeah, you pay him now. He's going to bounce back. The Steelers can wait, be patient, and see if he does bounce back. I don't think Cam is going to be a hardliner. I think he'll sit out of practices for a while, but eventually he'll practice. He'll be a good soldier. He's a team captain. And I think we'll probably play this out, and I think we'll be talking about this in January once again.
Our biggest concern is Ray Fittipaldi from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Is that pass rush? Because if we know what T.J. Watt is and Hayward even to 35, you know, we've got – I don't know what these metrics are, Ray. I don't know how you feel about these Pro Football Focus nerds, but apparently we got a great offensive line that goes good moving forward. We're a little more concerned about going backwards and protecting Kirk Cousins. Yeah. What are your thoughts on the Falcons, your view from up there in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I mean, listen, just knowing that Arthur was there, I know he got criticized a little bit because he wasn't using maybe some of the weapons they acquired in the draft as much as people wanted him to. So, you know, I look at the talent they've acquired. You know, Bijan is obviously going to be a weapon. You know, they've drafted high. They've used it on offensive players. So, you know, depending on how that works out, you know, early on with a defensive coach, you know, how does that work in terms of how the offense is going? I think, you know, the Falcons have been middle of the road for such a long time. I got to see that step before I – you know, say they're going to be a playoff contender, but I expect them to be better. I think the way they've acquired offensive talent is kind of a similar way the Steelers have. You know, high draft picks every year. You go back to Najee Harris, Pat Freiermuth for 1 year. The Steelers have really invested in the offensive line like the Falcons have. So they're kind of built similarly. I think that's why Arthur feels comfortable here. But, you know, obviously it didn't work out for him as a head coach, and you know, we'll see if it's any different down there under the new regime.
How much better is the run game going to be, Ray? You know, I look at the guys. Listen, they added Cordarrelle Patterson. We know who he is, and we love him as a player and a person. But we know he's not going to carry the rock, I mean, you know, consistently, yeah, just as a return guy. But tell me what this run game looks like, because I think that is something that I know Arthur Smith is going to want to do. Who are the horses, and what does that look like in the backfield?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren. Najee's in the last year of his rookie contract. They did not pick up his option. And really the way it worked out last year, you know, Jalen had the great rookie year in 2022. And last year it was a 50-50 split with Najee Harris. So, you know, Warren is the better third down back. He's a great blocker. You know, you look at him at his size, you don't think so. That guy is a tremendous pass blocker. He's the better receiver. But Najee's the guy who's, you know, probably going to carry the rock first and second down and, you know, be that between the tackles type of a runner. You know, they've been improving. I think they shot up from like 27th to 15th or 16th last year. But if you look at the way they've drafted guys, Broderick Jones, first-round pick in 2023. This year, Troy Fautanu from Washington. Those guys are probably going to be the starting bookend tackles. You invest the second-round pick this year in West Virginia, Zach Frazier. He's probably going to win the job at center. So they're building something there on the offensive line. Might take a little bit of time. You know, we'll see if they could take that jump from middle of the pack to be a top-10 rushing team. But I think you guys mentioned it. You know, with Arthur in charge, he's going to pound the rock. He wants to be physical. And I think as long as those young linemen step up and develop, I think they got a chance to be a really good running team this year.
It is Ray Fittipaldo. We visit with him about once a year, talking about the Steelers, basically checking in with everybody on our schedule here on the WaitFor.com hotline. It seems like, you know, Tomlin has been, you know, the first off, the organization is the model of stability. Tomlin's been there forever. What are the expectations, though? I mean, are people getting a little nervous about, let's go here? It's time for, we're the Steelers. It's time to get back to the top of the mountain.
Yeah, I mean, Art Rooney II, the team president, said it after the season. It's time to start winning some playoff games. And, you know, it's been since the 2016 season when they advanced to the AFC Championship and lost to the Patriots. It's been that long since they got a playoff win. And they snuck into the playoffs a couple of times, you know, number seven seed, something like that. But they always get their doors blown off once they get there. So, yeah, I mean, you know, something has to change. I think they're at the point now. That's why they went out and got Russell Wilson. They needed a veteran to maybe take that next step. But if you talk to Art Rooney or anyone who's making decisions in that front office, Mike Tomlin's job is super safe. He just signed a 3-year contract extension. He's here through 2027. So if they don't get it done this year, Mike's going to be here for the long haul anyway. They might have to change QBs again. They might have to do something else. But Mike Tomlin's going to be in charge of this football team for the foreseeable future.
It is Ray Fittipaldo, guys, again, covers the Steelers for the Post-Gazette. I think that this division is the toughest in football. You've got Lamar Jackson. You've got Joe Burrow. You have a healthy Deshaun Watson. Who wins this division?
Man, I still got to be the Ravens for me. I mean, Lamar had another great year last year. Bengals kind of took a step back, but I know Burrow was injured, so... Right. The Bengals were so impressive for a 2-year span there. You know, if they can get back to having a healthy Joe Burrow, they're going to be right there. But I can't go away from the Ravens. I mean, they don't really surround him with elite offensive weapons, but he's kind of a one-man show. And you know, in Baltimore, they're always going to play defense too. So I think it's going to be close. I think you could see like maybe the Ravens at 11-6, and then every other team like at, you know, 9-10. You know, 8 wins, something like that. I think it's going to be close, but I like the Ravens to win it this year.
We'll see you guys week one. I know week one is so weird now. I mean, have we found an equilibrium now with the 3 weeks of preseason? I mean, you guys going to be scrimmaging with other teams, or is it going to be still a high-scoring or low-scoring, mistake-prone early season game?
It's the worst. I mean, there used to be a rhythm to training camp in the preseason. Now that's all out the window. The roster changes like 25% from the end of the preseason game. Everyone's making moves. But, yeah, it'll be here soon enough. 3 weeks from today, the Steelers report to camp. So it'll be here before you know it, guys.
Can't wait. Ray, thank you so much, man. Enjoy your work. Appreciate you jumping on with us.
All right, guys. Anytime. Appreciate it.
That game, I said this. Each game, you're going to learn a little bit about our team. That game, and I'm just telling you guys, Arthur's going to try to run the ball down our throat. And we're going to find out how good we are up front with these young defensive tackles and linemen.
And don't we think we're kind of built for that?
Well, that's the thing.
Right? I think we're built for that.
So we got bigger, right? We got more athletic on the D-line. But we're going to find out in week one. And then if they're successful, let me tell you what the Eagles are going to do. The same damn thing.
Right.
They're going to come
with
back.
Saquon Barkley.
Correct. They're going to come back and say 35 carries or 25 carries or how many, you know, touches for Saquon. and good luck stopping him. This is why it was important for us to get these guys up front. Now, again, we don't know if any of those guys are going to be studs, but that is why they invested in the D-line the way they did.
But much like how, you know, we talked about yesterday with the Eagles about how they've kind of replaced some pieces and they got some younger guys coming in, their corners, Joey Porter, Dante Jackson, yep. Minka Fitzpatrick still
that's
there.
Right. That's right.
It's still it's a good secondary, but, I mean, how much are we going to be able to – now, it's more about us setting that tone, running the football against that aggressive pass rush.
I agree.
To make the play action effective.
It's going to be fun.
That's a hell of a first game,
oh,
man.
It really is. And a good way to get the season started with Kirk Cousins and company. Hey, it's Dukes and Bell. We're live at Taco Mac. We're coming back. Yeah, man, no, man. Big O's got it for us coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, we'll talk some dogs. One quarterback the Dogs are going to face says it all goes through them.
Mm.
We will talk about that on the way. Hey, this hour is brought to you again by Status Truck and Trailer Repair, driven by excellence, building successful partnerships. Turtle is off today. His dad's in town, so he's hanging out 4th of July weekend with his pops. And as he said in a tweet, he said, if Kelnick does anything, tweet him. So I said, did you see last night? Did you see Kelnick last night? Right. But he's off today, which means Big O is doing all the things. He is our executive producer, our engineer, and he's got Yeah Man, No Man.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man. He's the former MVP of his high school football team.
Not really.
From New Jersey.
The Cavs are here.
And gives rapid-fire questions. Here's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Chris Thomas.
All right. What is going on, Orin? How are you, my man?
Happy 3rd of July, gentlemen, as the promo just said. I'm doing well. Tomorrow's going to be off. Going to go see some fireworks tonight with Little Man and the wife, so... Pretty good day. Pretty good night. And it's going to be two there, guys. Yes.
A lot of people, you were telling me this. Is it in your neighborhood or just that they're doing fireworks in and around where you guys are tonight versus tomorrow?
So there's
is that
some,
right?
Some cities within the state, what they do is that instead of doing the big fireworks show on the 4th, they'll do it on the 3rd. So I'm going to be out and about in downtown Tucker tonight. If you guys see me, come say hey. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, downtown Tucker, they're doing their fireworks show July 3rd tonight. So that's where I'm going to be in. Yeah, I think it's a good idea. It gives you a chance to see fireworks on the 3rd, and then you want to go home and, God willing, please be safe. Have your own fireworks show like Mike's folks are doing out there in the cul-de-sac. Mm-hmm. Just make sure you keep all 10 fingers and toes away from any lit things. But, yeah, you get to kind of do the thing with the family tomorrow, and you can watch the fireworks tonight, so the big show tonight.
Okay, cool, man. Downtown Tucker is where it's going down?
Downtown Tucker off Main Street. That is correct.
Where everyone is someone.
Yeah, go.
Man. It's going to be a blast. I know my neighbor, Mike, who's a big Delta guy. And I don't know about you, Carl, by the way, I haven't touched a fuse. We used to shoot bottle rockets at each other.
Yeah.
Because if you grew up, if your dad was a cop like my dad, you got access to the greatest fireworks. Somebody would, like, call my dad, whatever the precinct was down in Chinatown. Well, we confiscated some fireworks, Jan. Looks like we're going to go load up.
Christmas
and every
time,
cop
yeah.
in, like, the precinct would literally, Orin, bring home, like, a trunk full of stuff. And the fireworks display went on for 3 hours.
So you could do fireworks in Long Island?
Yeah. Well, initially when I was a kid in Bensonhurst, Brooklyn.
Okay.
And then out in Long Island, yeah, we just, you know, you would hope they wouldn't hit a tree, but everyone had their, like, we're going to do, have your hoses out.
Yeah, yeah.
And ready to go.
Yeah. I mean, hell, in Texas, there's so much land, nobody cares. I'm just telling you.
Open land.
Nobody cares. So you do fireworks.
Fire.
You know, the problem there right. is, as it has been in other states, you don't know the fireworks from the gunshots. Come on, don't do that. All right, it's fireworks.
All right, real quick, sidebar, Orin. Dusty Rhodes one time on our radio show told us that at a high school football game in West Texas, where he grew up, apparently a big elk came on the football field,
yeah.
and the ref produced a .44 and shot the elk, and they dragged the carcass off the field. Is that plausible in West Texas?
It is, and I'm sure afterwards they had a very good meal.
Dusty goes, and all of a sudden this elk shows up, ref walks up, blows him away. Groundskeepers get him off the field in 5 seconds.
And I'm sure that meat
playing.
Held.
Blow the whistle. Let's play some ball.
I'm sure that meat held pretty well through the winter, too, yes.
Right.
They froze that
that's
up.
That's great.
Speaking of Texas, brings us to our first story here, guys. Everything's bigger in Texas, including the drama surrounding the Cowboys. You guys know Micah Parsons had that podcast that he recorded during the year, during the mm-hmm. football year. He would have, I think he did it on his off days, comments that he made about the Eagles and other teams with the players. Went viral for several different reasons right there, but it was a very popular podcast for Micah Parsons. if you ask his teammates, though, especially Micah, Malik Hooker, safety Malik Hooker, maybe Micah shouldn't have been doing the podcast. He has sort of a negative view about the podcast. Like, shout out to Micah doing his thing. That's great. But I'll let you hear what he said to Keyshawn on Keyshawn's podcast about Micah Parsons doing this podcast.
So I don't have a problem with it. I feel like a lot of these guys, though, they just get on there sometimes and they start falling into the part of, you know, just saying stuff that, you know, for the clicks and, you know, having people to come view and stuff like that. So, I mean, I don't have no problem with it. My thing would be, though, for Micah, my advice would be for Micah would be, you know, just make sure we're all right, you know, and being where your feet are. Because if we're at work and, you know, the run game's terrible, but you're doing a podcast every week and, you know, the run game is terrible, then, you know, what are you really caring about? Are you caring about the crowd that, you know, is watching your podcast? Are you caring about the success of our team in the Super Bowl that we're trying to reach?
So, yeah, man, no, yeah. Man. And I'll read you Micah's comments here responding to that. But, yeah, man, no, man. A little bit of drama surrounding Micah Parsons' podcast. Should he not be doing this, I guess?
He shouldn't. Not during the season. Listen, I'm old school in this way. Like, are we focused on the task at hand, to his teammates' point? Are you clowning around during the season and your podcast because it's popular and you're getting some juice out of it? Are you more concerned with that than the overall play of your team and, more importantly, your defense? Off season, I don't give a damn what you do. It's your business. During the season, you're not only committed to the team, but you're committed to the team, your teammates. And that means doing things the right way, Mike. Not putting your teammates on blast. Right. Not having guys have to answer questions because you popped off on some podcast and said something, and now all of a sudden Dak's got to come back and defend it or not defend it. Right. Like, you don't have to deal with all of it. The Cowboys have enough to deal with already.
Yeah.
I just think it's too much.
I'm going to say, yeah, man, it's a mistake. I think, you know, Carl just touched on it. You know, you put your buddy in position where he's got to go up against somebody you've been talking trash about. It's one thing if you're going to go up man up right, against an offensive
Correct.
Lineman or something. And the other thing is, look, there's going to be plenty of time for Micah Parsons and a life after football. He's already shown he's got the ability, like Draymond Green. Some would say Draymond's talking too much to it in the last few years in the NBA. Just do your work, and then we can focus on that media career. And I think for the Cowboys, it doesn't matter. Everything in Dallas is a distraction because of the media focus.
Yeah. I will say this, and we just talked about Tom Brady, and, you know, he said he was too serious during his career. We played that soundbite right. yesterday.
But he wouldn't do that.
No. I need guys that are singularly focused on the task at hand. That's what I want. And if you're my quarterback, I need you to be focused on being the quarterback, not being a quarterback and being a media star.
Plus,
Tom Brady never attempted to do that, and that's why he turned into
the man.
The man.
But and Micah talks too much. I mean, the fact that he was talking about, hey, Evans had five words with Zimmer. That's not something to brag
no,
about.
It's not.
I know you want you really do like enjoy the sound of your own voice. You know, at least Joe Theismann, when he did all that, was self-effacing. Micah Parsons isn't.
Micah did fire back in a posted then deleted comment on Twitter.
He deleted it.
Yeah. Just Uh-oh. Wish you said this to me, but instead on some podcasts. And you got my number, family, and you my locker mates. You could have said this any day. And you do realize I shoot the podcast on our off day. Why aren't we talking about everyone preparation and focus?
Okay, so here's the thing. You could just call him.
Correct.
You could just call him.
See, this is the mistake.
So here you go. As opposed, you're right. He could have reached out to you, but instead of you reaching out to him, you just amped it up another notch.
Correct. This is the mistake. Now, is there some tension when we roll up in the camp and you're like, you got something to say to me?
Right.
You got something to say to me?
I give Micah the height and reach advantage in that fight.
Yeah.
I do too. But here's the deal. Mike's right. He could have calmed the whole situation and said, yo, I heard your comments. Sorry, man. I didn't know you were disappointed. You could have came to me, and they could have worked through this. But this is today's athlete, Mike. This is the issue.
He could have de-escalated. He re-escalated.
There you go. There you go.
We'll do one more story here real quick, guys. We talked about earlier this week, Klay Thompson signed that deal with the Mavericks. A little bit less than what people thought he was going to get. We played comments from his dad earlier talking about how he pushed for him to sign with the Lakers. Lakers were prepared to offer him like $20 million more. Klay said, nope. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to go play in Dallas.
How is that possible with LeBron taking all the money?
Well, now that LeBron has all the money, too. By the way, kind of funny thing. You know they want LeBron to take $1 million less on his max deal because that puts them under the second apron. So they are $1 million over the second apron right now, which prevents them from doing, like, crazy deals.
Look, I don't hate LeBron, and I never hated LeBron. I was just a Jordan guy. And Carl and I, we kind of worked through this over the last 10 years about Jordan versus LeBron.
Yeah.
And LeBron's legacy is secured. But LeBron, you've only got one or two good years left, maybe.
That's it.
And I just don't understand why you would, like, take every stinking penny out of the Lakers when you know you're, like, the fifth or, at the best, sixth best team in the West, Orton. I don't get it.
Yeah.
Because he makes so much money and everything else with his endorsements, he can afford at this point to take a little bit less off the top to do those things and get a guy like Klay Thompson in there.
Absolutely.
It'll come
back
to it.
And this would be like a quarterback in the NFL saying, look, you know, Brady at the end of his career, could he have robbed Tampa Bay?
Yeah. Sure.
But I'm gonna take $25 million, not $55 million, because I know it helps the team. Go ahead.
But yeah. So Klay decides to sign with the Mavericks. It was sort of a rocky end to his time in Golden State. Guys, remember, he got benched last year. There were the injuries. Mm-hmm. Just hasn't been himself the last couple of years. He knew that the end time was coming, and he kind of saw, too, how much Golden State didn't prioritize him this offseason. So he had one request this offseason. He knew he was going to leave. He told Steph, hey, you may have this inclination to go to management and ask them to keep me around. Do not do that. Let me go. Yes.
Let me be free.
If you love
something, set it free.
It's been a five. This is from an article by Anthony Slater in the New York Times. It's been a layered 5-year path to this divorce, splintering last season, sprouting earlier, and finalizing in the last couple weeks. Where, amongst the conversations Thompson had, league sources say, was a request of Stephen Curry not to exert his significant organizational influence. And up
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, we'll talk some dogs. One quarterback the dogs are going to face says it all goes through them.
Mm.
We will talk about that on the way. Hey, this hour is brought to you again by Status Truck and Trailer Repair, driven by excellence, building successful partnerships. Turtle is off today. His dad's in town, so he's hanging out 4th of July weekend with his pops. And as he said in a tweet, he said, if Kelnick does anything, tweet him. So I said, did you see last night? Did you see Kelnick last night? But he's off today, which means Big O is doing all the things. He is our executive producer, our engineer, and he's got Yeah Man, No Man.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man. He's the former MVP of his high school football team.
Not really.
From New Jersey.
The Cavs are here.
And gives rapid-fire questions. Here's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Chris Thomas.
All right. What is going on, Orin? How are you, my man?
Happy 3rd of July, gentlemen, as the promo just said. I'm doing well. Tomorrow's going to be off. Going to go see some fireworks tonight with Little Man and the wife, so... Pretty good day. Pretty good night. And it's going to be two there, guys. Yes.
A lot of people, you were telling me this. Is it in your neighborhood or just that they're doing fireworks in and around where you guys are tonight versus tomorrow?
So there's
is that
some,
right?
Some cities within the state, what they do is that instead of doing the big fireworks show on the 4th, they'll do it on the 3rd. So I'm going to be out and about in downtown Tucker tonight. If you guys see me, come say hey. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, downtown Tucker, they're doing their fireworks show July 3rd tonight. So that's where I'm going to be in. Yeah, I think it's a good idea. It gives you a chance to see fireworks on the 3rd, and then you want to go home and, God willing, please be safe. Have your own fireworks show like Mike's folks are doing out there in the cul-de-sac. Mm-hmm. Just make sure you keep all 10 fingers and toes away from any lit things. But, yeah, you get to kind of do the thing with the family tomorrow, and you can watch the fireworks tonight, so the big show tonight.
Okay, cool, man. Downtown Tucker is where it's going down?
Downtown Tucker off Main Street. That is correct.
Where everyone is someone.
There you go.
Man. It's going to be a blast. I know my neighbor, Mike, who's a big Delta guy. And I don't know about you, Carl, by the way, I haven't touched a fuse. We used to shoot bottle rockets at each other.
Yeah.
Because if you grew up, if your dad was a cop like my dad, you got access to the greatest fireworks. Somebody would like call my dad, whatever the precinct was down in Chinatown. Well, we confiscated some fireworks, Jan. Looks like we're going to go load up.
Christmas
and every
time,
cop
yeah.
in like the precinct would literally, Orin, bring home like a trunk full of stuff. And the fireworks display went on for 3 hours.
So you could do fireworks in Long Island?
Yeah. Well, initially when I was a kid in Bensonhurst, Brooklyn.
Okay.
And then out in Long Island, yeah, we just, you know, you would hope they wouldn't hit a tree, but everyone had their have your hoses out.
Yeah, yeah.
And ready to go.
Yeah. I mean, hell, in Texas, there's so much land, nobody cares. I'm just telling you.
Open land.
Nobody cares. So you do fireworks.
Fire.
You know, the problem there is, as it has been in other states, you don't know the fireworks from the gunshots. Come on, don't do that. All right, it's fireworks.
All right, real quick, sidebar, Orin. Dusty Rhodes one time on our radio show told us that at a high school football game in West Texas, where he grew up, apparently a big elk came on the football field, and the ref produced a .44 and shot the elk, and they dragged the carcass off the field. Is that plausible in West Texas?
It is, and I'm sure afterwards they had a very good meal.
Dusty goes, and all of a sudden this elk shows up, ref walks up, blows him away. Groundskeepers get him off the field in 5 seconds.
And I'm sure that meat held.
Blow the whistle. Let's play some ball.
I'm sure that meat held pretty well through the winter, too, yes.
Right.
They froze that
that's
up.
That's great.
Speaking of Texas, brings us to our first story here, guys. Everything's bigger in Texas, including the drama surrounding the Cowboys. You guys know Micah Parsons had that podcast that he recorded during the year, during the mm-hmm. football year. He would have, I think he did it on his off days, comments that he made about the Eagles and other teams with the players. Went viral for several different reasons right there, but it was a very popular podcast for Micah Parsons. If you ask his teammates, though, especially Malik Hooker, safety Malik Hooker, maybe Micah shouldn't have been doing the podcast. He has sort of a negative view about the podcast. Like, shout out to Micah doing his thing. That's great. But I'll let you hear what he said to Keyshawn on Keyshawn's podcast about Micah Parsons doing this podcast.
So I don't have a problem with it. I feel like a lot of these guys, though, they just get on there sometimes and they start – falling into the part of, you know, just saying stuff that, you know, for the clicks and, you know, having people to come to you and stuff like that. So, I mean, I don't have no problem with him. My thing would be, though, for Micah, my advice would be for Micah would be, you know, just make sure we're all right, you know, where and being where your feet are. Because if we're at work and, you know, the run game's terrible, but you're doing a podcast every week and, you know, the run game is terrible, then, you know, what are you really caring about? Are you caring about the crowd that, you know, is watching your podcast? Are you caring about the success of our team and the Super Bowl that we're trying to reach?
So, yeah, man, no, yeah. Man. And I'll read you Micah's comments here responding to that. But, yeah, man, no, man. A little bit of drama surrounding Micah Parsons' podcast. Should he not be doing this, I guess?
He shouldn't. Not during the season. Listen, I'm old school in this way. Like, are we focused on the task at hand, to his teammates' point? Or are you clowning around during the season and your podcast because it's popular and you're getting some juice out of it? Are you more concerned with that than the overall play of your team and, more importantly, your defense? Off-season, I don't give a damn what you do. It's your business. During the season, you're not only committed to the team, but you're committed to the team, your teammates. And that means doing things the right way, Mike. Not putting your teammates on blast. Right. Not having guys have to answer questions because you popped off on some podcast and said something, and now all of a sudden Dak's got to come back and defend it or not defend it. Right. Like, you don't have to deal with all of it. The Cowboys have enough to deal with already.
Yeah.
I just think it's too much.
I'm going to say, yeah, man, it's a mistake. I think, you know, Carl just touched on it. You know, you put your buddy in position where he's got to go up against somebody you've been talking trash about. It's one thing if you're going to go up man up right, against an offensive lineman or something. And the other thing is, look, there's going to be plenty of time for Micah Parsons and a life after football. He's already shown he's got the ability, like Draymond Green. Some would say Draymond's talking too much to it in the last few years in the NBA. Just do your work, and then we can focus on that media career. And I think for the Cowboys, it doesn't matter. Everything in Dallas is a distraction because of the media focus.
Yeah. I will say this, and we just talked about Tom Brady, and, you know, he said he was too serious during his career. We played that soundbite yesterday.
But he wouldn't do that.
No. I need guys that are singularly focused on the task at hand. That's what I want. And if you're my quarterback, I need you to be focused on being the quarterback, not being a quarterback and being a media star.
Plus,
Tom Brady never attempted to do that, and that's why he turned into
the man.
The man.
But and Micah talks too much. I mean, the fact that he was talking about, hey, Evans had five words with Zimmer. That's not something to brag
no,
about.
It's not.
I know you really do like enjoy the sound of your own voice. You know, at least Joe Theismann, when he did all that, was self-effacing. Micah Parsons isn't.
Micah did fire back in a posted then deleted comment on Twitter.
He deleted it.
Yeah. Just wish you said this to me, but instead on some podcasts. And you got my number, family, and you my locker mates. You could have said this any day. And you do realize I shoot the podcast on our off day. Why aren't we talking about everyone preparation and focus?
Okay, so here's the thing. You could just call him.
Correct.
You could just call him.
See, this is the mistake.
So here you go. As opposed, you're right. He could have reached out to you, but instead of you reaching out to him, you just amped it up another notch.
Correct. This is the mistake. Now, is there some tension when we roll up in the camp and you're like, you got something to say to me? Right. You got something to say to me?
I give Micah the height and reach advantage in that fight.
Yeah.
I do too, but here's the deal. Mike's right. He could have calmed the whole situation and said, yo, I heard your comments. Sorry, man. I didn't know you were disappointed. You could have came to me, and they could have worked through this. But this is today's athlete, Mike. This is the issue.
He could have de-escalated. He re-escalated.
There you go.
We'll do one more story here real quick, guys. We talked about earlier this week, Klay Thompson signed that deal with the Mavericks. A little bit less than what people thought he was going to get. We played comments from his dad earlier talking about how he pushed for him to sign with the Lakers. Lakers were prepared to offer him like $20 million more. Klay said, nope, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to go play in Dallas.
How is that possible with LeBron taking all the money?
Well, now that LeBron has all the money, too. By the way, kind of funny thing. You know, they want LeBron to take $1 million less on his max deal because that puts them under the second apron. So they are $1 million over the second apron right now, which prevents them from doing, like, crazy deals.
Look, I don't hate LeBron, and I never hated LeBron. I was just a Jordan guy, and Carl and I, we kind of worked through this over the last 10 years about Jordan versus LeBron,
yeah.
And LeBron's legacy is secured, but LeBron, you've only got one or two good years left,
That's it.
And I just don't understand why you would, like, take every stinking penny out of the Lakers when you know you're, like, the fifth or, at the best, sixth best team in the West, or I don't get it.
Yeah.
Because he makes so much money and everything else with his endorsements, he can afford at this point to take a little bit less off the top to do those things and get a guy like Klay Thompson in there.
Absolutely.
It'll come
absolutely.
Back to
and this would
way.
Be like a quarterback in the NFL saying, look, right. You know, Brady at the end of his career,
right.
Could he have robbed Tampa Bay? Yeah.
Sure.
But I'm going to take $25 million, not $55 million,
right.
Because I know it helps the team. Go ahead.
But yeah. So Klay decides to sign with the Mavericks. It was sort of a rocky end to his time in Golden State. Guys, remember, he got benched last year. There were the injuries. Just hasn't been himself the last couple of years. He knew that the end time was coming, and he kind of saw, too, how much Golden State didn't prioritize him this offseason. So he had one request this offseason. He knew he was going to leave. He told Steph, hey, you may have this inclination to go to management and ask them to keep me around. Do not do that. Let me go. Yes.
Let me be free.
If you love something, set it free.
This is from an article by Anthony Slater in the New York Times. It's been a layered 5-year path to this divorce, splintering last season, sprouting earlier and finalizing in the last couple weeks, where amongst the conversations Thompson had, league sources say, was a request of Stephen Curry not to exert his significant organizational influence. And up the temperature with management to ensure Thompson's return. Yeah, man, no, man. Klay asking Steph, hey, stay out of this, man. I'm gone.
I think Klay was upset that he didn't get this money. Not this money. He should have got more money with Golden State.
Right.
Long before this.
But he got hurt.
He did. But they paid Draymond. And the issue was Draymond punched a teammate in the face.
Not a good teammate.
And really fractured the makeup of that locker room. And Klay is like, dude, I've been a good citizen. Mm. I've been one of the best teammates. And not only that, I've been a hell of a player. There is no Splash Brothers without Klay. That's right.
And by the way, my defense covers Steph's inadequacies.
So you gave him $100 million, and then you're telling me you don't want to pay me. I think he absolutely told his boys, you don't get involved, specifically Steph. I know Draymond has been very positive about Klay, but I think he absolutely said this, and this is why this played out the way it did.
Because
you guys know this. If Steph Curry went to management,
keep him. We got to find a way.
It's right.
Because they're so far down the luxury tax at this point.
It don't matter.
Plus, they're banking it. You know what they're charging for? Like, their suites,
their
courtside.
Mike, they got PSLs.
They're the only ones bigger than the Knicks as far as the actual person per ticket price. Yeah.
On that note, gentlemen, let's go hang it out of here.
Good stuff, O.
Big O, back at the ranch.
Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell. We're live at Taco Mac. Coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, we're going to talk about what one college quarterback had to say, and his team is going to play the Dogs. Also, is Chris Lindstrom really the best player on the Falcons? Some guy talking the 4 o'clock hour. Joe Patrick's going to join us at 5 to talk about camp and what we can expect with some of the players and some of the things that we expect, like deals being done, including A.J. Terrell. Mike, I keep thinking this deal's going to get done maybe as soon as camp starts. And if it doesn't, then it tells us a whole lot. You're not wanting to do
this. This management team did not draft him.
They did not.
And that makes a big difference.
They did not. We're going to get into that with Joe Patrick. Stay there. We're live at Taco Mac, guys. It's Dukes and Bell.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Fantasy freaks and geeks. What's cracking? It's your boy, James Kell, back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it. Okay, there's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need. Season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.